Our second reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Now when King David was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan and said, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. But I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all your people's hearts and the works of our hands would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our incarnate Redeemer. Amen. Something is wrong. David is enjoying success and rest because of God. David is living the high life, and yet God has just a measly tent to his name. King David perceives this mere tabernacle that God is in as a lack on God's part. David seems well-intentioned in our lectionary reading this morning. I think spiritual achiever types can probably relate. What can we do for you, O Lord? Let us help you. It's an impulse that can even be right and good and holy. Something that can engender a spirit of worship to ask God, what can I do for you? Listen again to verses 1 and 2 of 2 Samuel 7. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." David has a sense of what he thinks could be good for God. Cedar paneling, of course, is much nicer than canvas and tent poles. So whatever his motivations, David consults with the prophet Nathan as a sort of capital campaign consultant. Nathan the prophet confirms in verse 3 that God has been the source of David's well-being and success all along. "The Lord is with you," he says. And then Nathan says, "Go ahead and build." "Nathan, can we build it?" "David, yes, we can." David is ready now for construction. God responds to David through Nathan before the construction can begin. It's a threefold response, all of it unexpected. At least it's unexpected as I try to read the passage with fresh eyes and put myself in David's shoes. First, God surprises David. God surprises David. Then God reminds David. He reminds David of who God has been and who God will be. And third and finally, in his response, God goes above and beyond with a new promise. God goes above and beyond with a promise. I'd encourage you to look at this passage more closely on your own this week as you're able. You'll notice that each of these three parts of God's response to David, surprise, remind, promise, each of these three sections are marked in the biblical text with some version of, this is what the Lord says. You've got, this is what the Lord says, surprise. This is what the Lord Almighty says, a reminder. And the Lord declares to you a promise. We are a people to whom God has spoken and to whom God still speaks. And there is power in listening to the word of God. This is what the Lord says. First, God surprises David. Through the prophet Nathan, God says to David, are you the one to build a house for me to dwell in? House? I don't need a house. I cannot be housed, in fact, God says. This is a truth that many years later, the book of Acts would repeat. The Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. Instead, God says, I move from place to place with my tent as a dwelling. Did I even ask for a house? And then even the actual house that David's son Solomon will build, the temple, even that majestic building is but a temporary dwelling place. Paul would write to the church in Corinth, do you not know that you are God's temple? You are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in you. God cannot be contained by even the most magnificent dwelling. This is why so many Christians say the church is not just a building, it's a people, which is a great reminder for this prolonged period when we're not in our building. But the church isn't just any people. However wonderful and wise and caring we may be of our own accord, the church is the people of God. We are a people who belong to God, who follow in the way of Jesus, and who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. God has chosen to dwell among us. You, Union Congregational Church, are God's temple. God has come among us. God's Spirit dwells in us and leads us. Do you build me a house? God asks. No, I build you a house. I build you into a house. So God surprises David with this word that it turns out is for all the people of God. Ask not what you can do for me, but watch what I can do with you. After God surprises David, after he sets the record straight, God reminds David. He reminds David. Verse 8, this is what the Lord Almighty says. God calls David to remember God's presence in David's past. God reminds him, I've been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all your enemies from before you. I took you from being one kind of shepherd, following the flock, to another kind of shepherd, leading the flock. An improbable journey for young, small David. These reminders are all shorthand. When God says, I have been with you wherever you have gone, David's got to be thinking about all the places he's been, including the scary places, the uncertain places, the temporary places, the anxious places, the conflict-filled places, the dark places. God was even with his people through a civil war. God was present with David in every place David had ever been. What we see here of the character and actions of God is universal. This is who God is. Because God is not just in a tabernacle, because God is not just in a temple, because God is not just in this beautiful sanctuary, because of that, God is free to move about the cabin. He dwells among all his people and moves about freely, generously among us. God has been with you wherever you have gone. God has been with you in all of your scary places. God has been with you in all of your uncertain places. God has been present with you in all of your temporary liminal spaces. God has been present with you in your anxious places. God has been present with you in your conflict-filled places. God has been with you even in the dark when you couldn't see God. God is still there. David took this truth to heart. He would write in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." God reminds David of his presence in the past. And as we read this text, we can call to mind all the places that we've been, the bad and the good, everywhere in between. God has been there with us too. Therefore, God will be present in the future. He provided yesterday, he'll provide tomorrow. Kate McKinnon is an actor on Saturday Night Live, quite possibly the most versatile actor that show has ever known. In a sketch last week, she dressed up for Weekend Update as a mustached, pipe-smoking doctor, Dr. Wayne Wienotis. Most of the sketch is just silly, maybe not even all that funny. Kate McKinnon, as Dr. Wienotis, talks about what we know and don't know. We know this, we don't know this. She comes on the Weekend Update news segment to give Colin Jost a first dose of the vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine. And as she squirts this giant syringe full of water at him, McKinnon breaks character. And Colin asks, "Kate, are you okay?" And speaking in her own voice now, she looks at the camera and says, "The answer is no." And she says, still in her own voice, she says, I think what it is I stopped going to therapy because I'm really bad on the phone. I do too many pauses. I told her maybe every other week and then I blocked her number. It's just like the light at the end of the tunnel showed us how stinky and bad the tunnel is. It's like, how will the vaccine get to everybody? We don't know this. Will we have enough? We don't know this. Will life ever really go back to normal? This, we do not know this. But what we do know for certain, she says, no, we don't. We don't know nothing. Kate McKinnon is the voice of America. She speaks for all of us. The future, we don't know this. And when King David didn't know the future either, it's as if God took him up to a high mountain and said, David, look down. Look all around you. Look at these hills and valleys and rivers and plains. Look at the fertile ground and look at the dry land. This is your life, and I have been with you and your people wherever you have gone. This, we know this. I've cut off all your enemies from before you. We know this. I took you from following the flock to leading it. We know this. And therefore, God says, you can know this. I will be with you in the future. He's done it before and he'll do it again. God's promise of his loving, guiding, providing presence in the future, it's backed by this stellar track record. God will provide for the needs of tomorrow. He says in verse 10, I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Are you feeling disturbed? I am. This has been a difficult season on a national level. We've faced challenges as a congregation. Gloucester is in the red in a high-risk community now with COVID-19. People are dying and losing their jobs and not meeting their budgets and not getting to stay in their houses and suffering greatly. Some of us are alone, perhaps feeling more alone than ever before. But today, God points David and all of God's people to a day when you will no longer be disturbed. It's a wonderful picture of Advent hope. Someday you will no longer be disturbed. Come, Lord Jesus, come. God has surprised David by saying, I am the one who will build for you. Now he's reminding David, I've been with you literally everywhere in your past. I'll be with you again literally everywhere in your future. And then finally, God goes on. He's surprised David and reminded him, and now a new promise comes, an everlasting covenant, a loving relationship that will stretch on and on forever. God goes far above and beyond anything David could have asked for. Beginning in verse 11, it says, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, on one level, this passage is about Solomon, David's son. The second half of verse 14 can really only be about a sinful human being. It says, when he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of mortals. Jesus did no wrong, but Solomon will, in fact, do plenty of wrong, and he will, in fact, be punished by God for it. There are two sides to every covenant, blessings and curses. But at another level, this passage and this promise is about someone greater than just Solomon. The prophets Isaiah and Micah and Luke and Matthew and other New Testament writers saw a Messiah as the subject of this kind of promise from God. Jesus of the line of David is the one who will establish God's kingdom forever. Jesus saw himself as the fulfillment of this very covenant with David. Jesus was always talking about how the kingdom of God is now here. This is part of the everlasting reign, a line of succession that will not end. God promises to establish his reign even on earth through David's family, and it's finally brought to fruition in Jesus, even as we wait for the full consummation of the coming kingdom. When I hear this promise to David toward the end of our reading, I think of Ephesians 3:20, where Paul talks about God as the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. I used to take youth groups through this passage, and I would say, think about something, ask for something. Now, try to think about more than that something that you want. Now, try to think about something immeasurably more than what you're thinking about. We can't. It's beyond our comprehension. So great and so full are God's promises to us for our future, an everlasting covenant. And that's what's going on with David here. He asks or imagines that he will build God a house. He's going to be a co-laborer with God in the building of God's kingdom, if you will. But God does more than David can ask or imagine by surprising him and reminding him. And now he's doing immeasurably more by promising something David probably could only have dreamed of. God's response is immeasurably more than all that David could have asked or imagined when he first approached God with the offer of a capital campaign. Wow, David must be thinking. Here I was just getting ready to mobilize my people for this multi-million dollar building project, and now God is going far beyond what I expected. God is promising me not only a resting place for today and the near future and reminding me of my past, but he's promising eternal security. God says, my love will never be taken away from him. Or as the children's Bible, the Jesus Storybook Bible says, this is God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. This passage is quintessential Yahweh. The Lord responds to his people with perhaps a reprimand, or at least a, let me tell you how it really is. He reorients his fearful children with reminders of his past faithfulness. He reiterates his promises of favor and provision in the future. Those do not ever expire for the people of God. And then he tops it all off with a declaration of his unbreakable love that neither diminishes nor ends, a love that is most ultimately expressed through the Shepherd King, Jesus Christ. One commentator on this passage says, it is not up to us to build God a house in which to dwell. Rather, God's purpose is to build a house for us. David's son Solomon, who would build God this temporary but beautiful house that is the temple, Solomon would say this in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its labors labor in vain. Come, Lord Jesus, and build your house. Amen.